live righteously.
It's time for a very special episode of the Cultural Hall. Joining me from he made sure to rub it in the 75 degree weather in St. George, Utah. It's David Musselman. Thank you for being here with me in the Cultural Hall.
Glad to be here.
He's a bishop for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we'll get into some of that here in a minute. But the ever so pressing question: have you ever heard of the Cultural Hall before I contacted you?
Actually, my wife listens to it, so yeah. When I told her you had contacted us, she said, "Hey, that's a cool program."
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
So that's really why you called me back. We got the wife endorsement.
Yeah, I got the wife. You better call. So you know you were right before Channel 2.
Well, good. We encourage you to go and check it out, obviously, online, theculturalhall.com. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at The Cultural Hall. We have a Pinterest page if you're interested in that kind of stuff, and you can find us on iTunes and also on Stitcher. Now, that's enough business out of the way. Here's why David's on the special episode today. Several people sent me this story, as I think it was just barely published this morning in the Deseret News here in Utah. The headline is, Mormon bishop disguises himself as homeless man to teach congregation about compassion. And that Mormon bishop who did that is Mr. David Musselman. Thank you. I want to know about this. Where did this idea come about? And then talk about the experience.
Well, you know, several years ago, I found myself on Temple Square and at various overpasses and confronted with homeless people. And I found that I, at that point in time, for whatever reason, had a little more compassion and would give a little freer, at least show kindness. And if I had change or whatever, and or even bills, I would give it. And then as I've gotten older, I've just gotten a little bit more hardened, I suppose. And one of my business partners and a dear friend, Jen Stewart, who oftentimes will accompany me on different appointments, every time we go to an underpass, she requires that I stop and give a bill, or if we're downtown and always having to pass that, a bill along and contribute and pay attention to some of the homeless people. And it was surprising to me how it often annoyed me that she would have me do this. And she kind of looked at me one day in the car and basically said to me, you're a bishop, you should know better. And I felt badly. So I let that weigh on me, and it weighed heavily. And many nights I laid awake thinking, how can I create a change of heart for not only myself but other people? So I got to confess, I did it as much for me as I did my congregation. But I kind of just laid awake at night and thought of some different things that I could do. And as a bishop, you get an opportunity to kind of put a Superman suit on and have an effect on people where you wouldn't be able to as, say, a Sunday school teacher. And I started asking around and talking around and met one of the local makeup artists here that does a lot of TV and movie set makeup, and her name was Tara Starling, and she also has a nonprofit homeless food program that she does during the holidays. And when she heard what I was doing, she said, you got to let me do your makeup. So I went to her house at about 5 o'clock in the morning last Sunday, and she did. She transformed me into a pretty nasty-looking homeless person.
You can see pictures of this available at theculturalhall.com if you want to go there. How long have you been a bishop for, David?
Just about 4 years now.
So you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, as they say, right?
Yeah, still, I worry about it being a freight train, but there is definitely a light there.
I think the freight train is what you see as the light when you first start. I think it actually is a light at the end of the tunnel after about 4 years or so.
Well, it's a great experience, and one that you wish everybody could have an opportunity to do, because you really do have a great opportunity to just to be in people's lives in ways that you normally wouldn't be able to.
For people who might be interested, what ward are you the bishop of?
Taylorsville, 4th Ward in Taylorsville, Utah.
Okay. And that covers where?
That covers just a little strip of ground that's about from 4400 southeast to 4100 or 4400 south north to 4100 south and 3200 west to 3600 west.
Okay, all right. And you've been there about 4 years, and so this was just barely this last Sunday that you decided to do this.
Yes. So I wanted to do it right before Thanksgiving for obvious reasons, and trying to get Tara, she's busy on some movie sets, was challenging, but we decided that the morning of we could do it if we did it early enough, and it took her about 2.5 hours to get all the makeup on.
So you get up 5 a.m, which is nothing for a bishop on a Sunday morning, but... you get your makeup done, and then what happened?
Well, she made sure that I looked the proper looked and smelled the proper part, and then I hopped in my Lexus and drove down to my ward house and pulled about a block away and pulled into a convenience store and got all of my I had a crutch and I had a homeless sign and a homeless donation bucket, and I think the gentleman there at the gas pump was not very happy to see my ability to walk freely as I was scurrying about getting all of my props. He thought I was probably definitely a con, and indicated so.
And well, I mean, you were essentially.
I was. I absolutely was. Yeah. So he nailed it perfect. And it actually dovetailed nicely into the story because we sometimes just don't know what's going on in people's lives. Anyways, I went and hobbled over to the ward house, and for about an hour before our meeting started, I just hobbled around the entrance doors with the homeless sign and really hoped I wouldn't be recognized. And wow, did I have a surprise. It was one of the neatest experiences I've ever had.
Let's talk about it. Like what?
Well, I expected that there would be people that would be very evasive and even ask me to leave the prop. I had my own executive secretary threaten to call the police if I didn't leave the property. Hmm. And several people, including even a past bishop, had told me that I was needing to move off the property and that I wasn't welcome. And I expected that that would happen. And I also had wonderful little children that were with their parents as they came to church that I could tell from their eyes that they really, really wanted to reach out to me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just their nature. And their parents would be very guarded, and some of them would go to extreme measures to evade me and even go to the opposite side of the church to enter in. Other parents took it as an opportunity to teach their children and actually approached me, some not with money. One person in my ward, one of the people in my young men's press, grabbed his primary age son and said, "Come here, I want you to meet this gentleman." And he brought him over and he said, "How are you doing?" and wished me a happy Thanksgiving and gave his son an opportunity to give this homeless man some dignity and respect. And I was very much touched by that. I was touched by the parents that took that opportunity. The majority of the people, however, were kind of in the in-between, and they were the ones that really just did not want to think about it. I could tell that they were very uncomfortable, and they chose to just not even acknowledge my existence and ignored me, and even my repeated attempts to wish them a happy Thanksgiving went ignored, and it created a very somber feeling within myself, obviously. But I had the luxury of being the gentleman who's dressed up in the homeless suit, so mm-hmm. It's easy for me to sit back, and of course, as the father of the ward, you act in some cases as a judge in Israel, but I certainly never wanted to be judgmental. And so I was troubled that some of the people in my ward were going to feel very, very badly. And I was correct in that, because after we had finished walking around the church, I waited until the opening hymn had been sung and walked in and hobbled myself into the church and went right to the front row and sat. And there was an audible mumble within the congregation as I limped my way forward. It was kind of interesting to hear that. Went through the sacrament ordinance, and then I had prearranged this with my counselor. Only my second counselor was aware of what was happening, not even my family or my wife or anyone. And he was supposed to give a talk, and right in the middle of his talk, I stood up and approached the pulpit as a homeless person and asked if I could say a few words, which is not customary, and you have to be guarded as a bishopric to not just let people take the pulpit. But he did, of course, and I came forward and I started to recite the hymn, "Have You Done Any Good in the World Today?" as a homeless man, and thank the people for their kindness and their generosity. It showed that one small child would give me an apple, and I'd received some graham crackers and some bottled water, and then I pulled out a $20 bill that I had received and said, "Somebody in the congregation was very generous." And of course, I was in full character when I was saying this.
Sure.
And I said, I would like to give some of this back as a gesture of appreciation. And I said, I need to talk to your bishop. And is he here? And of course, I wasn't, but was. And at that moment, I just pulled my wig and my glasses and hat off. And wow, the congregation, the shock that value that it had, I had no idea that was going to create what it did, because what followed afterwards was something I could have never, ever scripted.
Let's talk about it. What happened? Because to me, I think I would be like, what? No way. I think that would, I think that would be the camp that I would be in.
It was, there wasn't a dry eye in the congregation, as you can imagine. There were many, many people that I could see the visible shame that they were feeling. Many that had confronted me, many that had evaded me, many that had spoken unkind words to me, that I felt such I hurt for them as much as I think as they were hurting for themselves. I never intended for anybody to experience that kind of shame. People would came up after the meeting and were just so heartbroken that they had, and of course, you know, I wanted this to be an experience that would be remembered and would change their lives, and or at least give them a chance to change their lives. But I never meant it to be that drastic of an effect. But I returned home that day, and one of the sisters in the ward, a younger girl, sent me a text and was very concerned about her grandfather, who had expressed how ashamed he was. And he was a gentleman that had approached me. In fact, he is a former bishop, and he approached me and asked me to leave the property and told me that I needed to not be there. And what he said was, is, "I just wish that, you know, everybody knew why I did that." And she was concerned for her father. But what I didn't know was, as she explained to me, a year before that, actually it was her grandfather, a year before that, she had visited our ward, and she was asked by an older man to help him into his car, and she approached him and helped him in, and at that moment, he snatched her purse and drove off. And so she went, when she saw me at the church, she ran in, grabbed her grandfather, was worried for the members of the ward. He came out and, with the best intentions, asked me to leave, and it told me that not only should we not be judgmental of the homeless person, but we really need to not be judgmental of the person that is being a little bit cautious, or a lot cautious, because we don't know what they went through. We don't know how they're viewing this experience and what lens that they're viewing it from and what they've had. And he was concerned for the members of the ward. And so I sure hope I did a good enough job to let him know that I in no way cast any kind of judgment against him. So it was just a lot of little experiences like that were just so amazing that I really believe that it transforms some people's lives.
As I listen to it, I think about the surprise that would have been for me to find out, you know, that this here is the bishop of my ward dressed up and doing this. But then as I hear you tell the story, you know, it's really hard for me not to get frustrated that people would shy away or encourage you to leave or any of those things from it. You know, it's very hard and kind of frustrating. And maybe that's a judgment call on me, where it's like, you know, that frustrates me that we aren't, you know, maybe it's culturally as Mormon people, or maybe it's just here in the state of Utah or whatever it is, but that we're not more, as the sign says, visitors welcome.
Well, you make a very good point. And I think that there was one sister, in fact, a counselor in our Relief Society, that came forward after the meeting and was just so emotional, so heartbroken, and felt so badly. And I said to her, well, you were not even cruel or mean to me. Why are you feeling so bad? And she said, because I didn't say hi to you, because I didn't make eye contact with you, because I didn't even have enough Christ-like attribute to say, you have a happy Thanksgiving yourself. And really, that's what it's about. We can't always have a pocket full of change. We don't always have a can of pork and beans with us. But what we always do have is the ability to look someone in the eye and give them their dignity. We don't know how they got there. We can talk all day about it's because of choices and decisions that they made. But we're not asked to place conditions on being kind. And I'm just glad that we don't have that same standard placed on us from our own Heavenly Father when looks at us and loves us. He doesn't say, I love you less because you made poor choices. And he's asking us to do the same thing.
That's an amazing story. What since then, since this was just this last Sunday and now it's, you know, 3-4 days after, what has transpired in the last few days?
Well, you hear about things going viral, and, you know, I never thought I would be part of anything that had gone viral, but here's the third interview that I've done today, and I'm going to evidently be on TV tonight, and the number of emails and texts that I've been getting have been more than, even more than a bishop normally gets, and I could not believe the outpouring of positive comment, and the overall positive comment was how people really want to change and be better, and it made me realize people are a lot better than we give them credit for. People want to be better, and they're looking for reminders. They want to be reminded, and we get busy, and I think that in general there's just a lot more good people in the world than sometimes we think. I had one lady in my ward that she has, as a result of this, gone all of her children, and they're all married, and said that Grandma and Grandpa want no gifts this year. Please take all the money and gifts that you would have bought, and please go to a homeless shelter and give it to the homeless people. And I've had versions and variations of that numerous that have come my way. So it's, I don't know that we would call it starting any kind of a movement, but if it changed one individual, wow, that's good enough for me.
For your next act, what are we doing for the next act?
Something to do with the Easter Bunny, not sure. I think my stake president would probably pull his hair out if he saw me dress up again. But he was great. He actually came. He didn't know what was happening and called me actually today after he read the article in the Deseret News and said, you did good, Bishop. So that meant a lot.
Let me ask you this. We ask everyone who steps in the Cultural Hall a few questions. We already know that you're a bishop, so that eliminates that question. If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or one that you made up, what would you pick?
Well, that's a great question. I just made up a calling, in fact, that applies directly to this, and I extended it this week. I made up a calling called Facebook Public Relations Specialist of the ward, and her name's Kelly, and she has done such a wonderful job to make this be a great missionary tool in our own ward. So that's one that comes to mind, but I'll tell you, you never ever can beat a calling in the young men's, and that's where I've always enjoyed myself. So that's the coveted calling, I think, in a lot of wards.
And then finally, what is your favorite part of your faith?
The favorite part of my faith is recognizing the power of the atonement. I created my own little plaque in my office that says, no other success can compensate for failure in the home, .. except when it helps me to just keep in perspective that we can accomplish a lot more than we think we can.
Well, I think that you should take the smart advice of your wife, and you should begin listening to the Cultural Hall. And
I am all over it. You can't stop me now.
Yeah, and there's really no excuse. And I'll have you back in my office here in a few months, and we'll talk about what you've learned.
Outstanding.
So, look forward to that. We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you, Mr. David Musselman, on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.